Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have tips and reports for you from Jarrett McCarthy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and then we talk ice fishing with Hayward Area Fishing Guides Ty Sennett and also with Fishing Guide Steve Jensen. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Just in time for the holidays, Hayward Power Sports actually has some 2023 Polaris off-road vehicles in stock and ready for sale. Nope, it's not a Christmas miracle, but it's great timing for an awesome Christmas gift. Pick up a Polaris RZR XP1000 and get a $1,000 rebate plus 1 year Polaris limited warranty. Or choose 2.99% financing for 60 months. When it comes to side-by-sides, in addition to the heart-pumping RZRs, we also have the workhorse Polaris Ranger and the most comfortable and powerful crossover machine, the Polaris General. We even have the machine that started it all, the Polaris Sportsman ATV. Plus, during the holiday sales event, they all offer special promotional financing. Have a young rider, be an ultimate Santa, and take advantage of a $300 rebate or special financing on a 110cc Polaris Youth ATV. These are all brand new 2023 models, and the stock is very limited. Don't miss out. Come see us today at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
See Hayward Power Sports for details. Always wear a helmet, never drink and ride.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in Northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu. And while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. I got Jared McCarthy in here. And Jared, let's talk about what's going on. I know that people out ice fishing. We're not making a lot of ice right now, though.
No, not really. I mean, we've got temperatures in the mid-30s outside. We've had mist. We've had a little bit of rain. You know, we've got snow in the forecast for the next couple of days. So it's everything an ice fisherman who's looking for good ice would roll their eyes at.
Yeah, you know, and by the time this airs, we'll be past that snowstorm event. We don't need that on the ice right now.
Yeah, you know, and the unfortunate part about that is, you know, we've had this many years pass, you know, we've got a slew of cold weather coming. So what you're going to wind up getting is, you know, 2 or 3 inches of hard crusted snow ice on top. You know, if any of the lakes that you're fishing on right now have any kind of slush, that's going to get insulated in between, you know, that hard crust and that ice that was formed underneath. So it just makes for a big mess out on the ice, but it just also stresses the importance of making sure that you have good ice wherever it is you're going. You know, you need to be able to punch through that first layer, whether it be through with a spud bar or, you know, something else, just to check and make sure, because there's going to be a whole bunch of different layers after we get, you know, the cold and the snow.
And, you know, I've had reports this last week of slush on some of the lakes already too, so it's there.
Yeah, and myself, I was out on Nelson yesterday, and you know, we've got 4 or 5 inches of good ice, but in a lot of those spots where we got all that snow, there are cracks nearby that's pushing up water that'll make a lot of slush on the lake, and you know, you've got, you know, just as much slush as you have ice out there.
You know, one of the mistakes I see people make early in the year is they'll go out and they'll drill 2 or 3 holes, they'll start fishing, they decide drill another hole over here and start fishing, drill another hole over here and start fishing. Every time they drill a hole, the fish scram from underneath where that hole is usually, unless you're in deep water.
They do. If you're going to go out and punch a couple holes and just fish those holes, fine. That, you know, that's no big deal at all. But if you're going to go out and go on a recon mission and you want to check out a spot, go out early, drill all your holes, check all your holes for whatever kind of structure depth that you're looking for. make your setup the last thing you do after your holes, and then get away from your holes so you're going to let those fish calm down, move back into the area if they were spooked. But yeah, that noise factor right now, because we have so little ice and it makes such a big difference in the shallow water, you know, limit the amount of holes that you drill while you're actively fishing.
You know, tip-up fishing is a big thing too right now. Any good tips for people on fishing tip-ups? I know I went to where I'm using 100% fluorocarbon leaders over the years, and a lot of guys still want to use wire, but in the pike. But you, when you get into fluorocarbon, you can run like a 20-pound fluorocarbon leader, and the pike don't bite that off very easy.
Yeah, you know, while I tip ups myself, I'm usually using 8 to 10 pound fluorocarbon, but there is absolutely no issues with using even that lighter fluorocarbon, that 8 to 10 pound test. If you get a big pike on, it's not so much the pound test that you're using, it's just how you're fighting that fish at the hole. Because a lot of times, if that line snaps, is usually when that fish has its beak at the hole, and it's because people aren't giving it enough time to fight out of the hole. But as far as the rest of tip-up fishing or what have you, a lot of guys still like to use those wire leaders out there, and that's fine when you're out there fishing for pike, but fluorocarbon, as we stated earlier, the less visible that leader is, the more bites that you're going to get, and you'd be surprised how many more bites we've gotten over the years from switching from, you know, at first it was wire leaders, then we moved over to mono, and then we went to fluoro. So it's, you know, the evolution of the line game.
You bet. And tip-up fishing, too, as far as make sure you get the depth. A lot of people want to get it too low. I think one of the things is you're better off being a little too high than too low.
So, and there's a lot of great ways where you can check this. If you haven't started to use it yet, start incorporating some of the tools that you use when you're pan fishing into your tip-up game. Biggest thing that you've got at your advantage is something like a Vexlar. You know, take your Vexlar around with you from hole to hole. Obviously, you're going to check your hole with a regular depth finder, and then you're going to set, you know, 6 to 8 inches for the spool, and then a lot of guys are going a foot to 2 feet off the bottom. Spread that out, put your marker bobber there, get your tip up all set, and then bring that Vexlar in as a second set of eyes. Put that Vexlar down the hole and see exactly where it is you have that minnow down the hole, because a lot of times you'll get that Vexlar down the hole and it'll be, I think I'm 6 inches too high, let's adjust it real quick. Perfect. Or I think of 6 inches too low, that minnow's still on the bottom, you know, let's bring it up. And another thing that that Vexlar is good for is looking to see what kind of structure that you have down there. You know, you're not going to know exactly what kind of structure it is down there, but if you drop your depth finder down there and, you know, maybe for some reason you didn't hit that straight patch of weeds when you're bouncing that thing all around there, but when you put your Vexlar in, you can see it wavering in from the side. It's just something else that can tell you what's down there. One of the other ways that you can check it is just with an underwater camera. It's definitely the extreme way to go when looking at a tip-up or sitting tip-up or, you know, what have you, but it's something that'll tell you exactly what you've got in the area. So a lot of different tips and tricks to making sure you've got your tip-up set right.
Well, you know, and the other thing, too, is that if you're setting up a shack to stay warm out there, you can set up your loud tree line. So set up your tip-ups out, watch them, and in the shack, I mean, you don't just relegate yourself to only panfish, because you know, a lot of guys are going toward jigging now, and you've got all these jigging baits, the ones that glide bait off to the side, and you got all kinds of different spoons and stuff, and that can be pretty effective at times, especially late in the evening, right, toward that evening hour.
Yeah, that bewitching hour, you know, between 4:30 and 6 or what have you, is a great time where those fish get really, really active, and the guys that have tip-ups out, those set lines, those are doing really, really well, but if you've got some guy who's actively jigging them, you know, you might get onto a pattern that works, you know, twice as well as that tip-up pattern that you've got out there, you know, just because you're giving them some kind of different presentation. Or, you know, a lot of times when guys are out there fishing, they're fishing walleye suckers or they're fishing shiners, you know, some of those walleyes might want a smaller presentation, you know, a smaller jigging wrap, a smaller spoon. So it's just all about varying up what kind of baits that you've got out there to show the walleyes. You know, not every walleye is going to come on a walleye sucker or a shiner, so make sure you keep your options available.
You know, and early in the year like this too, is that the evening hours is when, especially more clear waters, when you start seeing life coming up on the bottom of that, on your depth finder, your zooplankton and everything comes up, and you have, believe it or not, there's insect hatches, there's larvae down there that they're eating bloodworms and stuff. And in the more darker water lakes, that can be a more of a daytime bite. But in the evenings, that's your witching hour, and that's when everything starts to come alive.
It is. Evenings and mornings. Don't forget about mornings, because those will be some really good times, too. But, yeah, those evening hours, those are definitely the times that you want to be out there. You want to be set up well before that time rolls around.
And once we start getting a lot of cover on the ice, snow cover, then it darkens the water up underneath, and then that can be more of a prolonged daytime bite. But let's talk about down here at Story. You guys got just about everything anybody might need for ice fishing out here, or if they will get out, you go out in the late part of the bow season yet.
Yep, heck yeah, we've got just about anything you could be looking for ice fishing down here. Tip-ups, line, bait, we got it all right here. Shack shelters, augers, and all your late season bow gear. We've got it here for you.
And I mentioned these glide baits. You got just about every brand of them in here now, even the Moonshine Minnows, and you got the Kalen stuff and everything.
We sure do. We've got a whole bunch of stuff in here that's going to catch fish.
Jared, thanks a lot for coming in here, and let's not forget you got stocking stuffers here if people need some presents or gifts.
Oh my goodness, heck yeah, we do.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, John.
Well, folks, you know we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we'll be talking ice fishing with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Ty Sennett. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hunters and Anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in Hayward. They have a huge selection of ice fishing gear, including portable shelters, power augers, electronics, beaver dam tip-ups, ice rods, and just about anything you'll need for ice fishing. They also have archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzle loaders, ammo, and much more to help you enjoy the outdoors. While you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Hayward Power Sports has a limited number of Can-Ams in stock. Come pick a 2023 Can-Am Outlander ATV, or we have the 2023 Can-Am Commander and Defender side-by-sides, and special promotional financing is available on all of them. Want to really surprise a young rider? Hayward Power Sports has Can-Am 90cc youth ATVs that offer a $500 rebate or 0% financing for 60 months. These machines will go fast, so don't miss out. Get your Can-Am today at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77. Offer subject to credit approval. See dealer for details.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on lodging and vacationing here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, last week we had Hayward Area Fishing Guide Ty Sennett on. This week we've got him on again, and we're talking ice fishing with Ty.
Ty, good to have you on the show here. You know, let's talk a little bit about ice fishing. I know the one thing that, you know, everybody knows that you do a lot of muskie fishing, and, you know, probably one of the best guides on a Chippewa Flowage, in my opinion, as far as muskies go. But when you come down to other fishing, you spend a lot of time in the wintertime out there ice fishing.
Yep, I'm out almost every day. I'd say at least 6 days a week, whether I'm guiding every day or not, I'm out there. I love it. A lot of crappie, and we jump around a lot. I'll fish the east side and the west side. There's not a lot of spots on the west side like there is the east side. The east side definitely holds more areas of crappie than the west side, but it's a great fishery because you can go find spots where nobody's ever ice fished out there because it's only been open, 8-10 years now?
Right.
In a lot of these spots, nobody's ever dropped a line. So it's pretty cool that you can actually get out there and find new stuff that you can know that nobody's ever done.
Well, you know, flowages tend to concentrate the fish, especially when you have drawdown stuff going on, too. And in one area, we'll have a majority of the fish. You know, in those little areas, you can have them. Like you said, on the east side, you've got more of those little areas that concentrate the fish.
Yep. Yeah, and you get river channel stuff, and you get openings in the river channel where they'll concentrate. So it's, there's, I don't even know, probably 15 miles, more than that, 15 to 20 miles of river channel. So you can jump in anywhere in that river channel and just wait for the fish to come to you. And you know what I found out? Like, I always thought that on the snowmobile trails that you had to stay away from the trails, when actually the snowmobiles have to stay away from the ice fishermen. That's something that the DNR told me a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and if they're right where I want to be, I go right down where the state markers are and drill some holes and stay in the middle. I'll let the snowmobiles go on both sides of me, too, sometimes.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, you wouldn't want to do it on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
No.
But like on a Monday, Tuesday, it's not a big deal when the snowmobiles aren't out there much.
Well, you know, and we've recently had a panfish bag limit dropped on the Chippewa Floyds, too, and I don't know what you think, but I think that was a good thing, considering the amount of pressure that's on that lake compared to what there was before the advent of ice fishing on it.
Yeah, and you know, ice fishing doesn't do much damage to the chip. If you think about it, 50% of the lake is on the east side, the other 50% obviously is on the west side. There's nobody on the west side because it's very, very, very tough to catch a crappie on the west side. So, you know, 50% of the lake doesn't get touched by ice fishermen. So there's more fish harvested in 1 week in May than all of ice fishing.
Oh, I agree with that. I think so there too. You know, and the fact is that the crappie, I think the biggest reduction in crappies and bluegills in that lake was when they went back to that drawdown again, because immediately...
Oh, it kills a lot of fish.
Yeah, immediately I wasn't seeing these huge schools of fish with my hummingbirds that I normally see. I mean, I live and die by my electronics. I mean, think you know that. I mean, my electronics is the biggest thing to me in the boat as far as finding fish.
Yep.
I was seeing these huge schools of panfish everywhere, and as soon as that drawdown started again, I saw less of them. But the trade-off
So the drawdown kills the juveniles.
Yep.
All the young of the year die when you draw down the lake like that. And the drawdown is, to me, very confusing because the main goal is to betterment of the walleye fishery. Well, if you're killing what their main forage is, which is the young of the year, right now, if you cut open any walleye out there, you're going to find 2-inch bluegill and crappie.
Right.
And right now, by drawing the lake down, they're killing all those 2-inch bluegill and crappie. So, you know, you're trying to better the walleye fishery, but you're also killing off all their forage at the same time. So, you know, the drawdown in March, like they used to do it, is very effective because you're going to have so much runoff, you don't want flooding. So you have to draw the lake down. You know, but that's a different kind of drawdown. You're not losing oxygen at that point.
Right.
But if you draw it down in October and November, then you're going to have so much less water and so much less oxygen. And those, like I said, the forage that those walleye feed on are dying off like crazy. And then you're going to have multiple year classes of crappie and bluegill that are gone.
Yeah. Well, you know, the fact is, though, I think that the reproduction actually, I think you have more success as far as them laying eggs that hatch when you have a drawdown. I mean, I look at Moose Lake for one. Moose Lake has had a drawdown historically forever and ever and ever, and it probably has the highest reproduction rate of any lake up here because the bottom is well oxygenated and you don't have a lot of that weed growth and that muck and that real soft, silty stuff where they lay their eggs at. But on the other hand, you have to have food for the fish, too.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you guys are pretty blessed up there on Moose in that you have tributaries coming in that always have oxygen. So you're pretty lucky there.
Yep.
You know, it runs over a lot of rocky areas to create a lot of oxygen in the winter. So you guys don't deal with a lot of winter kill, and I'm not saying it doesn't happen because it happens on every single lake every year. To what extent it happens, you know, that's different.
Oh, yeah. Well, in the flowage, you got all these isolated pockets and stuff that don't get that flow through, where moose is a whole different animal. It's pretty much a straight shot. The one or two pockets we do have that are isolated do have a severe oxygen problem in the wintertime.
Yeah.
And I think you see that more in areas on the chip where it's at. What do you think this year is going to be like as far as the ice fishing, given the fact that we're coming out of the fall with a pretty substantial load of food and forage in the lakes for these fish to eat?
Yeah, it's going to be a little tougher year probably for crappie. I know in talking to a lot of pan fishing people, it was a very, very, very tough year. You had a couple windows this fall where people were getting them. You know, like I have a buddy, Terry, that did pretty well, and a couple other friends that did pretty well, but they did not do well all year, that's for sure.
Yeah.
A lot of the crappie guides struggled throughout the year, and I think it's going to be the same thing. You're going to have, like, periods where you find them, and it might be a two-week period, maybe 3 weeks at the longest, but you're going to have to keep moving around to stay on them.
Yeah. Well, I will say this. As myself, it was a tough year this year. We didn't catch the numbers of fish we normally caught, but I really, on the other hand, didn't have any bad days, and that will attribute completely to using LiveScope and forward-facing sonar, because you're able to get on the fish where you know, and pin down individual pods of fish a lot easier with that sonar. So, you know, I overall had a good year, but you know, like I said, it was down as far as the numbers. We just didn't have that fast and furious action we normally have.
Yeah, you know, I don't do a lot of open water crappie fishing. I did a lot of walleye fishing open water besides the muskie. Like in May and early June, I do a lot of walleye fishing. We just absolutely clobbered the walleye this year. I mean, we had a lot of 50, 60 fish days of, and that's of keeper size fish, you know, 15 to 20 inchers. We didn't have as many of the small ones this year, which is good, good and bad. I mean, yep. I know a lot of people that were fishing, that were doing river channel stuff that were just clobbering the little tiny ones, you know, the 10 to 12 inchers. So I tend to stay more towards the bogs and weeds and, you know, sticks and brush out a little deeper, but so a little bit of different stuff than that river channel stuff. I think if you stick with the river channels, you're going to get a lot of those small ones.
Yeah, I think the bigger fish, they shallow a lot more.
Or like to structure, you know, if they're not shallow, they're on structure, and it's finding that right structure out in, you know, 14 to 18 foot sometimes is key.
Well, Ty, you know, if anybody's interested and wants information about your guide services for the wintertime here or for the summer, how do they get a hold of you?
Easiest way is to go to my website at tysennett.com, and that's tysennett.com.
Well, Ty, it's been a pleasure having you on here. I need to get you on here more often.
Oh, it's good talking to you, John.
Oh, thank you.
All right, take care.
Well, folks, you know we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that bring this show to you every week. When we come back, we'll be talking ice fishing with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Steve Jensen. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hey, folks, come on over to Hayward Ace Hardware and check out the area's largest selection of firearms, ammo, and accessories. We carry top brands like Browning and Sig Sauer, and we have a great selection of the newest and hard-to-find models. We've got a large selection of ammo with more coming in daily. If you need a scope, we carry great brands like Leupold, Hawk, and EOTech, and we'll even mount it and boresight it for you, too. We even sell suppressors and silencers. And don't forget to check out our Guns of the Week. Huge discounts on a variety of pistols, rifles, and shotguns that change every week. So stop on in to Hayward Ace Hardware, your firearms superstore. Hayward Ace Hardware, Highway 63 North in Hayward, or give us a call at 715-634-8700.
This year, Dr. Ostrander and his staff at Hayward Animal Hospital will be celebrating 30 years. They thank you for your patronage. Hayward Animal Hospital continues to accept new clients and offers urgent care appointments daily. For same-day urgent care or emergency surgery, make sure you call early in the day as appointments fill rapidly. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides. Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, on this part of the show, we're talking to Hayward Area Fishing Guide Steve Jensen about ice fishing. Well, Steve, you know, when it comes to ice fishing, everybody gets out there and fishes, sets tip-ups early season for walleyes. That seems to be the go-to method up here. But yet when you go to Minnesota, for instance, the go-to method is a jig spoon or a jig.
Absolutely. And I'll be honest, I'm one of the guys in the area that does do a lot of jigging. I'm always jigging, even when we do put tip-ups in. We're fortunate here in northern Wisconsin where we can run three lines per person, so it gives you a few more options. I'll throw on a couple boards, and then I'll hop around several holes and jig aggressively as well. And you'll be amazed. It's weird. Some days all the bites will come on the boards, and then some days you'll catch them all jigging, and then there's obviously days where you catch them on both.
I think when you get them on the boards, what's happening is that they're actually feeding. And sometimes when you get them, just like in the summertime, when you're jigging a spoon or something, you're actually kind of triggering a responsive strike rod.
Oh, absolutely. I would say 80 to 90% of the fish that I catch on the jig rod, I have to trigger by, you know, making them bite. I'll see them on my Vexilar. I'll trigger them. I'll make them. I'll work them. You'll see them for a little bit. Finally, you trigger them up, and they'll bite. So, you know, those are fish that probably just wouldn't cruise in and bite a minnow. You have to actually tease them into biting. So, yeah, absolutely. You know, and there's days where that's a factor.
What type of spoon do you like to use, or is any particular thing that you...
I use a lot of buckshot rattle spoons and the Swedish pimple. Honestly, those two catch more fish than, you know, than
tip
I...
Tip them with a minnow?
I usually do. Again, it depends on the body of water. Sometimes I just use a fathead. Sometimes I'll use a fathead head, and sometimes I'll use a small walleye sucker, depending on the lake. If I'm fishing a lake that has a lot of bigger walleyes, I'll put a pretty large fathead or a pretty large walleye sucker on there, John, and when I tip it with that, it's a nice big profile, it's a nice big presentation, and I've caught some of my biggest fish, including my personal biggest, by doing that.
But let's talk about the pan fishing a little bit. Any tactics that you think people should work to try to find pan fish out there?
You know, just be mobile. I think that's the biggest key. A lot of people go to one spot, they drill one hole, they sit and they wait. I'm a guy that drills a lot of holes through the course of the day. I'll move from area to area until they find fish. When you're looking for crappies, it's pretty easy because they're pretty visible on the electronics. You can cruise through that deep water and visibly see them. When you're fishing the weed beds where you're looking for, you know, the bluegill and sometimes crappies as well, it's a little bit more tedious. You got to cut a few more holes and they're not quite as easy to see. But again, just keep moving until you start finding fish.
Kind of like, you know, I'm doing a lot of crappie guiding in the summer and the fall over the last few years, and I don't fish unless I see fish on my depth finder. I mean, literally, and you should be acting the same way ice fishing, even though it's a little harder because you got to drill more holes.
But. Yep, absolutely. I'll still drop a line just for a few minutes just to see if there's something nearby that will move in, but you got to be, you know, fishing to boat it. If you sit there for any amount of time and are not seeing fish, get moving, because, you know, in the winter, these fish don't travel that much. They're not moving large distances, so you certainly got to move to find them.
You usually use live bait or plastics or what for the panfish?
You know, I use a combination. Really depends on the day, and I almost always have it all with me. When the bite is good, I will stick with the plastics because it's a lot faster. You can, you know, catch a lot more fish without having to rebait. But there's certainly days where you need to have some waxy, some spikes, and even some minnows, especially for the crappies.
Steve, you know, one of the things that gets really overlooked is fishing northern pike. And the DNR is actually encouraging people to keep some northerns, some small northerns. And we got a lot of lakes now that northern pike have gotten into.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they're certainly kind of, you know, taking off in certain lakes. And there's some good trophy pike lakes in our area, too, as well, John. So you have a good variety. They're generally pretty aggressive, especially early and late season. And they get pretty dang big. They fight hard, so they're a lot of fun to catch.
Well, even the small ones, though, are good eating.
Oh, absolutely, yep. They make great table fare, just got to get the bones out. And like I say, they provide good action. So it's fun for people that need to have, you know, a lot of stuff going on. The walleyes usually bite early and late in the day. The pike are usually pretty willing. They'll bite all day long.
Not quite as hard to find them either. Usually you get around the weed beds and either right on the weed beds or off the deep edge next to the weed beds. Usually they're going to be right there someplace.
Yep, absolutely. You know, and you can set out a lot of lines and bring a lot of buddies, and it's fun time. You can set out a whole big spread, and you have flags flying. And, you know, like I say, they fight hard, and there's plenty of fish even up to over 40 inches in our area. So, you know, they're a good time.
Most of that is tip-up fishing, I think, though, although I've seen some guys doing some jig fishing.
Yep. You know, in general, we catching them when we're, you know, using tip-ups, but occasionally I'll catch a few when I'm jigging for walleye, or I'll catch a one on a jigging for, you know, crappie or something like that. But, you know, I've done a little bit of jigging for them without a ton of success. So generally you just set the tip ups for the pike and then do our pan fishing in amongst them, and you kind of get both best of both worlds there.
Get some action going, and that's the important thing about when you're out there is you want to catch fish. I think most people want to catch fish. We guide a lot, and that's what they want.
Yeah, they want to be catching fish. So, you know, they always say, well, I want to go walleye fishing. Well, we'll catch a couple in the morning, a couple in the evening. During the day, we should probably go do some pan fishing pike, and it's a lot of fun. They really enjoy it.
Steve, I know both of us guide in the wintertime out there. We're geared up for it. Give out your guide information.
Yeah, if anybody would like to get a hold of me for fishing this winter, you can get at me at fishhunts.com or on my cell phone at 715-558-3709.
Thanks, Steve.
Yep, you betcha.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at wnoradio.net. And from there, you can link to our podcast site. And the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors, our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.